Well, guys, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to dive in. I'm going to be kind of all over the place. I want to talk to you today about me, okay? It's about me. I have a problem, and my problem is I kind of take stuff on. And I don't just take stuff on, I take a lot of stuff on. And I should be saying no to some things, but I don't. And so what happens if you are like me in any kind of way, you find out that we're in a hurry. You find that oftentimes we're overwhelmed. You find out that we're rushed, we're late, just all kinds of things. Anybody can identify with that? Anybody at all? Okay, the fact that some of you took your time raising your hand, that stressed me out. Okay? No, we all struggle with this to some extent. Any of you ever go to the grocery store and you start to play the race game? And what I mean by that is you get there and you look and you see, okay, this lady has a bunch of stuff, this lady has a bunch of stuff, oh, this line looks good, and then you see someone coming. And there's a race to get to that line, right? You know what I'm talking about? Tracy does. He's back there going, yeah. Anyway, you get there and you think, yeah. But then all of a sudden, there's five people in this lane, two people in this lane, and this is the coupon lady. And so those lanes just go, and you're just sitting. You know what I'm talking about? Frustrating. Frustrating. We want to see who could go the fastest. And we do this because we're busy. We think we're important, so we're busy. And the problem is when we get ourselves like that, we find out that we are out of it. And what I mean by out of it, I think four ways that we're out of it. The first thing is we are out of shape physically. I mean, look at me. This was my before. This is my after, okay? This is where I'm at, okay? I used to be svelte and athletic. Now I'm neither, you know? Out of shape physically. I don't really have time to exercise, so what do? You just sit around. You come home tired at the end of the day, and instead of going for a walk, you think, well, I'll get to it tomorrow because I'm just worn out. I'm tired. Sometimes for us, a good family meal is finding some French fries under your seat in the car and passing it to your kids on the way to soccer practice. You know what I'm talking about, right? Or is that just me? Okay. We're so busy. We're out of shape physically. And not just out of shape physically, we're out of sorts emotionally. In other words, we probably would have a breakdown, except we don't even have time to have a breakdown. I went in the hospital. They called 911 on me, a couple weeks ago? I can't even remember now. I tried to put it out of my mind, thinking like, okay, he's going through a heart episode, right? I get there after they've sticking me everywhere, and then they say, oh, man, you have what we call a panic attack. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not even panicked about anything. But my body is telling me, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And I'm sitting there going through my mind thinking, like, what is all this about? You know, I'm doing fine, but I guess I'm not. We find out that we're out of sorts emotionally, and we're just a wreck, or we're a mess. Or we're out of touch, maybe relationally. You ever sat in a conversation where you're with the person, but you're not really with the person? I blame mine on ADD, okay? I'm in the office. Sandra starts talking to me, and for the first 20 seconds, I know exactly where she's going, what she's saying. After 20 seconds, my eyes glaze, I think, and she's still going. And I'm just sitting there like, Those of you that have husbands that have a remote, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Honey, what do you want for dinner? We're there, but we're not really there. We're not totally with them because we don't have anything left for anybody at the end of the day. We don't have anything left to give to our spouses, to our children, because we are so beat up during the day, and then that makes us out of shape spiritually. We're out of order. I mean, we believe in God. We know God. We know that we're supposed to start every morning in a time of prayer and just in God's word so that we can be refreshed for the day. But we don't have time. I mean, think about it. Even church on Sunday, it's like, you know, there are baseball games that are scheduled on Sunday. And I'm not talking about the Braves. I'm talking about like kids' baseball games. Oh, we got tournaments coming up this week. That's why I'm so glad this year, since January, it has rained every Sunday. Have y'all noticed that? Every Sunday it's rain, so I mean, hopefully these games are getting rained out and people can be at church on Sundays. But we get to the end of the week because we've been rushing and rushing and rushing, and so we get there and we're so fried out. By the time we get to Sunday, we just want to chill out. We want to relax. We don't have anything left, and we know we got to go back to the grind on Monday, so we take Sunday off. We need to take care of ourselves spiritually and emotionally and relationally and physically. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to serve at the church. We don't have time to join a small group. It just takes up another night of the week, so I can't do that. And then we use that excuse that God's not going to give us more than we can bear. Except that's not what the Scripture says. God does give us more than we can handle. And God gives us more than we can handle and more than we can bear so that we come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God goes, right. Now I can work in your life. Let me work in your life. How many of you would honestly say that at least occasionally you're overwhelmed? Anybody? How many of you would say every once in a while you feel stressed or there's not enough time in the day to get things done? Anybody? Okay. Do you really think God's intention for us is to be constantly overwhelmed, out of sorts, stressed out? Something is wrong. When our culture, what our culture calls normal is not normal. It is a sickness. God would call this insane. It is unbiblical. It is dangerous. It is wrong, even sinful, that we just spend all of our time rushing and rushing and rushing. So in Matthew chapter 11, I want to start in verse 28. And if you'll turn there with me, this is what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Listen again. Come to me. This is Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. If you ever feel weary and burdened, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of you don't know what rest is. You don't because some of you, when you rest, you feel guilty. Joe and I were talking this morning, and we were talking about like the busyness of a mom. That I thought about this. I remember when I was little, you know, you see all these things where people would say like, okay, we're going to make breakfast for mom in bed. And so you go in the kitchen and you just totally destroy the whole kitchen, right? And you make this thing that's not, it's just hardly edible, right? And your mom acts so surprised, oh, this is so great. But guess who has to go clean the kitchen? Mom. Guess who has to go wipe off and clean off all of the dirty linens and stuff? Mom. And it's like the mom is just gone, bomb, 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 bomb. And just keeps going on and on and on. And sometimes we get into that phase where if we're not pushing, we feel guilty. It's not going to get done. If I don't do this, it's not going to get done. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are worn out, weary, burden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Here's the thing about a yoke. When you put the yoke on, there were two little holes in there that the oxen had, right? So if this oxen went like this, they were going to go in a circle. If this oxen went like this, they were going to go in a circle. What happened? They had to walk together. Jesus is saying, put my yoke on you and let's walk together. You don't have to walk in front of me and do everything on your own. You don't have to walk way behind me and make me just drag you through the mud. Put my yoke on you because it is light. It is easy. Now, some of you are saying, Paul, you're getting a little too passionate about this. Well, yeah, I am because Sandra had to buy me this. Y'all laugh. But how many of you make to-do lists? I do, right? Make a to-do list. What happens with the to-do list? You continue to add, right? And I have trouble saying, right? So Sandra had to get me this. And even still, I find myself saying yes instead of we have to learn to say occasionally. We need a to-don't list. Margie was asking me, she said, well, Paul, what would you put on your to-don't list? Well, let's be honest. Let me be transparent with you. When I come in on Monday mornings, we will sit there and we will talk about the week, what's going on. Sandra and I are making sure that the plans are going on, that the Bible studies are ready, that the sermons are ready, that everything's going on. And then I start panicking because, again, my ADD kicks in. I start thinking of everything that needs to be done. I'm thinking about the rooms in the back, okay? So I call up Dave. Hey, Dave, can you help me build some walls? He's like, sure. So instead of doing ministerial things, I'm back there building walls. And then because the walls aren't messed up, or we get the walls going on, and I say, hey, Steve, we need to make sure that the pipe guy comes in and does this. And Steve goes, okay. I called him. The pipe guy will come in. The pipe guy didn't come in. So I get panicked about that. So I say, Donald, the pipe guy didn't come in like he said he was going to come in. So Donald says, well, look, I'll call the pipe guy. So the pipe guy's supposed to come in and tell us what the pipe's going to do. And then Roger comes up to me and said, Paul, the Christian flag is ripped. And I'm like, yes, it is. So I get on the phone, and I call the guy. And if you look, we got a brand new Christian flag out there. Well, don't. I mean, I just bought a flag, right? But the point is, I start thinking of everything that's got to get done. I need to say no. It's not my job to build the walls. It's not my job to order a flag. It's not my job to do these things. I mean, we're in a small church. A pastor should do something. If y'all figure out what I'm supposed to be doing, please let me know, because I'm right now I'm doing everything. You know, me and Sandra are like, okay, we'll do this. Ha ha, I won. You got to teach Wednesday night. And she'll go, ha ha, I won. You got to preach Sunday. I'm like, okay. But that's the thing is, I have got to let some things go. My personality, I don't like to let things go because it won't get done my way. How many of you are like that? You're afraid to let something go because someone may actually take it over and do it, but they're not going to do it the way you would. And that's going to make you mad. I've seen people leave the church because things weren't done the way they thought they were done. You want to see a point of this? Come help my mom put these chairs back after we break them down. Have you ever worked with my mom? It don't matter where you put them. She's going to cuss you out and tell you that's wrong. What?
No.
Yeah, whatever. If you haven't been, you hadn't done the chairs yet. It's a sickness in our souls. And I even went to the doctor. And during my physical, I said, you know, what's going on? And he says, well, I'll tell you what, Paul. I'm going to put you on this medicine that's going to help you a little bit with anxiety. It's just going to calm you down a little bit. I said, okay. He said, we're only going to do it for a little bit because, you know, this was back during the Christmas time. And, you know, in the church, Christmas is like boom, 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 right? He said, so after Christmas, we'll evaluate and see what happened, right? So I found myself doing this for over 2 years now. I'll go in and I'll say, hey, Dr. Ghosh, what's going on? He goes, Paul, tell me what's going on in your life. And I said, well, man, this is a bad time right now. We just got finished with Christmas, but, man, we got Easter coming up, boom, 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 right? He says, okay, well, let's just keep you on it. Then after Christmas, it's like, okay, now what's going on? You should break down. We're going in the summer. No, we got a mission trip to Ecuador this year. Last year, we went to Poland and the Czech Republic and did some stuff. We got this, and we're building this, and we got this going on. He goes, okay, we'll just keep you on it. Then the fall comes, and he goes, okay, things smooth down now. Can we pull you off of that? It's like, no, man, we got to gear up and get ready for Christmas again. And I found myself for 2 years not changing anything in my life and just getting busier and busier and busier until I realized it is a sickness in my soul. And I think for a lot of you, there's a sickness in your soul. I want to share with you 3 points, and that I'm passionate about these. Number one, some things in your life need to be shared. Some things in your life need to be shared. There are things, we are not built to do life alone. When God created everything and he created man in his image, he looked and he said, oh, this is great, this is great, this is great, this is great, but it is not good for man to be alone. and he created someone to come alongside and work with him. We weren't designed to handle it all. I love the story of Moses and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro, right? His father-in-law, Jethro. Okay? I like somebody named Jethro. Anyway, Jethro comes up to Moses. Moses is trying to do everything. I mean, after all, he was God's called, right? But this is what Jethro says to him in Exodus 18. He goes, "What you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. All you're going to do is wear yourself out. You're not going to be useful for anything. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Stop trying to handle things alone." The problem is, oftentimes, we're afraid to ask for help. I'm horrible. Sandra goes, "Well, Paul, did you call anybody?" Like, "What do you mean, did I call anybody?" "Well, did you call anybody and tell them we needed help? Did you call anybody and tell them we needed this? Did you call anybody?" I'm like, why does she always go to meddling, you know? You don't have to do it on your own. We are meant to work together. The problem is, I'm really good if you ask me to help. I have trouble saying no, right? I'm a pastor with a truck. I get phone calls all the time. "Hey, can you help me move? Hey, can you take this stuff to the dump? Hey, can you blah, blah, blah." I'm going to sell my truck and buy one of those little smart cars. Nothing fits in there, even me. But the point is, here's the deal. If you want to fulfill the law of Christ, here's what Scripture says in Galatians. This is what Paul wrote. He says, "Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ." You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Share their burdens. Share your burdens. We're meant to help one another. So some things need to be shared. The next thing, some things have to be stopped. Some things just have to be stopped. Could it be the fact that you're maybe doing too much in your life? There's too many things on your plate right now that you don't know what to do, where to go. I can relate to the story of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. Remember, Jesus comes and sits at their house and they're all hanging out, and Mary says, "I want to hang out with Jesus." And Martha's in there, she's making the oatmeal raisin cookies, she's making all of the stuff. I'm sure that's not how the Bible reads it, but if I were writing it, that's what I would say. She was doing all of these things, and she looks out, and she sees Mary just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, and she's like, "Jesus, tell her to get in here and help out. I can't do this all on my own." And this is what Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha." Almost like, "That's nice, sweetheart. Listen, Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Think for a moment. How would you fill in this blank? If only I had more time, I would blank. Think about what you would do. If only I had more time, I would, what would you put in the blank? I don't know what be for you. If I had more time, I would spend it with my children. If I had more time, I would spend it in a small group. If I had more time, I would be in a church. If I had more time, you know what? I would keep a journal like Margie. I would write a book that I've been talking about for years. If I had more time, if I had more time, if I had more time. Here's the thing. You do have time. You have time for everything that is important in your life. "I can't get it all in. I'm just worn out." The problem is you're taking on too much stuff that doesn't matter. Some things need to be stopped. And I don't know what those things are for you. It's going to be totally different than the things that need to be stopped for me. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 46. "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Be in his presence. For us, it's awkward, the stillness, the quietness. And the reason many of us haven't experienced that fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blowing through our lives is because we don't have time for him. We're busy with our own schedules. We say he's important, but our lives communicate otherwise. The word be still is the word Rapha. Rapha, that means to let it drop, to let it sink, to let it slacken. The modern translation would be just drop it. Drop it, let it go. There are some things that need to be dropped. Just let go. Some things that need to be stopped. Stop doing things and investing your life in places that don't matter. Begin to invest your life into the things that do matter, eternal things, kingdom things. And the third thing, some things need to be shared, some things need to be stopped, but everything in your life needs to be surrendered. Everything. Psalm 62 says this, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him." Listen to this. My soul finds rest in God alone. I just got back from a wonderful trip for a week on the beach where we were able to walk and to meditate and to spend time in the beauty of God's presence. And there was no hurriedness and everything just kind of went at beach time. You know what I'm talking about? I saw people walking with their cell phones on the beach. And I'm sitting there thinking, can you hear the ocean? You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know. Why would you take your cell phone, you know, down on the beach and be carrying on a business conversation? Because, you know, you're supposed to find your rest in the beach. No, you don't find your rest in the beach. And some people like to go up to the mountains. I'm going to go up to hell and I'm going to watch the leaves change and I'm going to sit by the trout stream and I'm just going to get in God's nature because my soul finds rest in nature. No, your soul doesn't find rest in nature. Your soul finds rest in God alone. Those things can serve to get us away from the busyness of the world, from the craziness of the world, from the sounds of the world, and isolate us where we can spend more time in Him. But it is God who strengthens us, and it is God who gives us peace. Not on vacation, not a newer home, not even a newer car that has those butt warmers in the seats. Those are all good things to have, but those don't give us rest. Our salvation comes from Him and Him alone. Psalm 55 says this, we are told to cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. The word is shalach. Shalach means to hurl, means to throw, it means to get rid of. I've got these burdens. I can't carry them on my own because I can't handle everything. You're right, you can't. So what do? Cast those burdens on God. Throw your burdens down. Quit carrying them. Be yoked to Him. Because it's about Him. It is for Him. It is by Him. We can't handle things on our own. And that's why we need His people. That's why we need the church. We are the brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we come together, we are the body of Jesus Christ here in this place. So today, are you too busy? Today, are you overburdened? Are you stressed out? I'm telling you to lay it down. Give it to God. Because He is our source and our strength. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, just thank You for today. Father, speak to us. Make us different. Father, help us to recognize that we are not of this world. And so, God, we don't want to just be crazy like the rest of this world. Father, I pray that we would live in such a way that would bring honor and glory to You. And, Father, for those who are serious, I pray, Father, that we would not shake what Your Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today, that You would give us fresh eyes to see, almost like stepping back and looking at our lives from Your perspective and not just from what society and culture calls normal. Father, give us the ability to see what's really important. Help us to choose what's most important. Father, just like Mary, help us to choose what is better. And God, if that means making radical choices that some people don't understand, then so be it. Just give us the courage and the faith to walk in it. And Father, I pray specifically that you would speak to people, that you would save marriages today, that children and generations would be different because of decisions that were made here today. Father, I pray that our lives would be yoked to Jesus. Father, may we hear from you and have the faith to obey, even when we think it's not normal. And even when it doesn't make sense to us, Father, I pray that you would help us step into that. Father, speak to us and give us the courage to obey. Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.